My name is Salty, and I'm a motorcycle addict. Welcome to tonight's meeting of degenerates and a few honorable, uncorrupted souls, but that is still up for debate, which would make this political. So I'm back and back to the regular scheduled program. Let's shift into second gear and let out the clutch and twist the throttle and rip into the rest of this week from within the Badger set, a different type of hole. Don't forget this off season. Please remember those of us riders suffering through winter with PMS, park motorcycle syndrome. Our bikes suffer too. I'm still trying to convince my wife motorcycles are a good financial investment. She doesn't agree, but I'm willing to trade one basket case for another. Maybe you'll have better luck with her than I do. Let's sit back and talk about motorcycles, the lifestyle. It's all about the adventure. Most of all, remember, chopping ain't easy. If I wanted to ride something easy, I would have called your girlfriend. Tonight's special guest of Salty Badger's Chopper Talk Tales from the Road is coming to you live through StreamYard on YouTube from the Badger set. Let's get on with tonight's show.
Salty Badger, arriving.
All right, everybody, tonight's guest is backstage. I want to get him up here to the stage, and let's get the show going. All right, everybody, tonight's guest from Tales from the Road is Joker Cycleworks to talk about some chopper stuff. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're a little quiet, but I got my volume turned up, so.
Okay, all right. So, Jeremy, what was your first motorcycle experience?
I've had motorcycles ever since I was five, so my dad brought home a Honda Z50. That was probably the first motorcycle experience other for myself. I mean, he always had friends that rode bikes. When I was a kid growing up, there was nothing for me to wake up with bikes in the yard when I stayed at his house on the weekends. So it's just been something I've been around my whole life.
That's awesome. That's kind of the way I was. I had a Trail 70 for my first one, the old, I forget what they, with the monkey bars, the fold down handlebars, they call them monkey bikes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was my first experience and kind of kept them. I still have three of those, so. they're hard to let go of. My grandpa collected them, and I just can't let them go. So who is your biggest influence in regards to motorcycles?
I don't know. There's quite a few. My dad, obviously, and his friends were a huge inspiration for my passion for motorcycles. I would probably say those guys. And, the whole biker build off thing, I think it sparked a lot of interest for a lot of guys. The builders I kind of, from that generation that I kind of look out, say that they're inspirational is, you know, Billy Lane, Trevelyne are probably my two favorite. Warren Lane, he's another one of my favorites. But even back when the David Mann pictures, I'd look at my dad's Easy Rider and see the old bikes and the David Mann magazines and Easy Rider, and those bikes were iconic, and you know, they were just painting. So that was a huge inspiration. The first bike I think I ever really seen that caught my attention was a bike, an Easy Rider. It had Frankenstein on it, Sugar Bear Springer. And I actually finally got to meet Sugar Bear, and he's a friend of mine now. And so that's all those old guys, you know, they all bring something to the table.
Nice. Yeah, they do. They definitely do. I mean, I grew up with my dad building choppers in our living room because we didn't have room. And then they moved out to the garage, had a place for the garage, but I was around them my whole life. And that's kind of what brought me into it. So you said earlier what your first motorcycle was, that started it all off. So, when did you start working on motorcycles professionally?
Professionally, I guess I opened the shop professionally in 06. I bought a 83 Wide Glide when I was 19. And it was a shovel head. I didn't know anything about motorcycles. And I kept having to take it in, get it worked on. It was quite the disaster. And I just kept paying bill after bill and, you know, repair fee after repair fee. And I was just like, I got to figure out a way. So I bought a manual. My dad passed when I was 16, so I didn't really get to utilize him for any information. So I bought a manual, and got with some old guys that were friends of my dad's and some guys that rode bikes and just asked a lot of questions and paid attention and slowly built into my shop in 06.
Nice. So when and what was your first kind of chopper build then?
My first chopper build was a Evolution drivetrain, softtail drivetrain bobber. It was just a bare bones bobber, no front brake. I had a red powder coated red frame with hot rod black gas tank and fender on it. And I had that bike for like 2 years, and then I sold it. And then I built another. Then that's when I started building my second bike.
Awesome, awesome. So is there anybody from your life, living or not, that you would have liked to share some miles with or share some builds with?
Oh, my dad for sure. I mean, I actually got to ride with a bunch of his buddies, which was a blessing for me. But yeah, I'd love to ride with my dad one time. That'd be super rad.
That seems to be the big consensus on that question every time I ask it, because that's kind of the same question. That's the same answer I have. I mean, I got to ride with my dad when I was very young on the back of a motorcycle, but I've never actually laid any miles with each of us riding together.
Yeah, same with me. I rode on the back of his, he had a 48 Panhead. I rode on the back of it about any chance I could get, but yeah, I never got to put miles beside him.
So what would you say your favorite build to date is that you've done so far?
Oh man. I don't know. They all have a special place in my heart, really. I mean, my green pan shovel chopper, that's my personal chopper. I love that bike. It's dependable. I take it everywhere. But as far as, I mean, the last couple, my Panhead, I built and I sold it. I built it. It was a great bike. It ran good. It was fun to ride. I mean, I really don't have necessarily a favorite. I got the one that's mine. But they all have a special place for me. You can't put the time I put into these things and the hours upon hours of and they're all different levels. The one I'm doing now, I'm fabricating pretty much everything except the Sugar Bear Springer. And that bike has a lot more man hours than some of my other bikes, but there's still, you spend a lot of time with something, you kind of get attached to them all.
Yeah, that's definite, because you can't ever get your... Like I tell everybody, when you're building choppers and everybody's like, oh, they're expensive when they put them on the market a lot of times, but they're really not, because you're not figuring your time in. You have material, and that's really, you don't get your time back in that sense, the time that you spend building them, if you're building them to sell.
Yeah. I mean, I do it because I love it. And I tell everybody who's in the industry or anybody that wants to get into the industry or young guys, I'm like, if you're doing this because you love it, cool. If you're doing it because you want to have notoriety and fame, you're going to be disappointed. Not just saying that you can't get some notoriety and be known for what you do, but it's just a matter, it takes years. I mean, next year I've been doing this for 20 years professionally. And I worked, I just recently went full-time at my shop in the last year. And I used to work full-time and do my shop part-time. It was another full-time job actually, but what people don't understand, some people have a problem with that, you know, and it's like, you know, I worked 10-hour days at my job and then would come home, eat dinner and work in my shop till 9-10 o'clock at night every single day to meet the expectations of my customers and do the builds I wanted to do. So I was basically working two full-time jobs, and I just recently went full-time at my shop at the beginning of this year. So it's a lot of work to build these things. And you know, I've had people ask, he's like, hey man, I want you to build me a custom set of bars. And I'm like, listen, you just need, what's it for? It's for a street glide. Okay, well, I can build them for you, but they're going to be $1,000. Right. Well, that's ridiculous. That's what I'm saying. The chrome's going to be $400. Just the chrome. And then you got the tubing and then my time making. I said, you know, it's going to be $800 to $1,000. You're better off just to buy something that's on the market that you're willing to accept. Because there's certain times I'm willing to accept using other parts and that are already on the market. And then there's times where I'm like, no, I'm building them all.
Yep.
And that's, but you're right. You're not going to make any money back from that stuff. That's just, you're doing it because you love it.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at. I do it because I don't do it to make money. It's a hobby for me. And I do it because I enjoy it. And I've yet to sell one because I just kind of, I get attached to each one of them, and luckily my wife feels the same way, and she's not making me force one out the door to start the next one. So, but I think eventually that time's going to come, because I just kept collecting them and start building them, and she's starting to wonder when the next one's going to be done.
I have quite a few myself, but I won't give them away. If I can't make decent money on them, if I can't get a fair price for them, I'm not getting rid of them. And my wife understands that too.
Yeah.
But yeah. I do build all the, I have my green chopper, and I have some other bikes that are sentimental bikes to me. But for the most part, if I build it, it's for sale. If somebody's willing to pay for it, then I'll sell it. If they're not willing to pay for it, then I'll keep it and I'll show it till somebody wants it, or it'll sit here. Either way it goes.
That's awesome. So would you say that chopper crowd is different than the rest of the motorcycle community?
Well, I think the chopper crowd's different itself. And I think it's 100% different from the motorcycle community. The chopper crowd itself, I feel like you have like the vintage guys that want to have like the 70 shovels with the, you know, 12 over Springer front ends and all vintage 70 parts. And they want to have their pan head that's kickstart only. And they want to have their beard and long hair and that kind of do that old retro type thing. And then you have the other spot where it's like the guys like me, I love choppers, but I like the hot rod aspect of a chopper. I like to build a bike that's doesn't look like everybody else's bike, or is an extension of how I want a bike to be. And I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, there's a lot of guys running around with Sportsters right now with 20 over Springer front ends and putting the mid-mount controls on them, and hey, they're riding them and they dig it, and that's their scene and it's cool. And if they're happy, that's rad. For me, I'm just a fan of the old school hot rod choppers. That's what I love.
That's where I'm at. I kind of like the old school stuff. I mean, I got a big tire hot rod Sportster, a lot of minor Sportster builds, just because I love the Sportsters. They're self-contained, they're inexpensive platform to start with, and that's just
dependable. Rideability is there. Dependability is there. It's a great platform, great engine. And as far as the other, I mean, there's riders, and there's guys that ride bikes, and then there's guys that are motorcycle enthusiasts, and then there's bikers to me in the industry. People don't ride like they used to. I feel like every year I see less and less bikes on the road. The younger generation doesn't seem like they have too much of an interest with it. It's disheartening, because I feel like my generation is one of the last generations that really has a lot of motorcyclists in it. I just don't think, I think it's getting too much work for people. You know, they'd rather sit in their car and have it drive themselves than actually get on their bike and ride it. But it's also those things when you're on a bike, and especially if you built the bike and you're riding it, you can't put into words how you feel the first time it starts, or the first time you get to actually get to ride it and enjoy it. There's no words I can't put that into words, the fulfillment you get from that. So if you're not the type of person who enjoys those type of things, then it's not going to be something that you enjoy.
Definitely. That's definitely the way. I noticed that you've got a lot of amazing parts that you make and everything. Is there one that's more popular than the rest of them when you're selling them?
My most popular part is probably my rally mirror. I just came out with that remote oil filter. Excuse me. I just came out with a remote oil filter, and that one's starting to pick up some volume selling. I just launched my website the first of the year, so trying to get that ball rolling. I got more custom parts line coming, more tail light brackets and stuff like that. That's going to be coming out here in the next few months, but. My best seller right now is probably my rally mirror.
Awesome. Yeah. After the show and the link, I'm going to drop their webpage in the description, so you guys, everybody can go over there, check out his webpage. He's got some nice chopper parts, but he's also got some shirts, hats, all sorts of good swag on there for everybody to check out and help him out, because all that stuff helps out the smaller shops. Even if you're not buying parts, you're buying some of his gear and his shirts and things, that definitely helps out the smaller shops. So what would you say is your damn moment? I did this.
Oh, probably when I got in my first Easy Rider magazine. Like when I started my shop, I really wanted to get my bike an Easy Rider. My dad always wanted to get his bike an Easy Rider and never made it happen, and passed away before he even could figure out how to do it. So for me to actually, I started the shop. I just didn't want to be another service shop. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to pay the bills, but I wanted to be known for building customs. And I built a little bobber, and it got a 6-page spread in Easy Rider, I think back in 2009. So that was probably like, I can't believe I did it. And then I was like, okay, now I want to do it again. I think I only have one cover. I've only gotten one cover. It was an Easy Rider cover back in 2018. And I mean, I've had several bikes in the magazine, Cycle Source, The Horse, Easy Rider. But that's the only one cover I got. So I'd probably say getting into Easy Rider was like my, I did it. And then when I made the cover, it was probably the second one.
Nice. Yeah. I'll tell you, there's nothing the same as a motorcycle magazine, though, having the pages in your hand, turning it. I mean, everything's gone to the web pages and stuff, but my own personal thing, man, I like having the magazine in my hand.
I do too. But I mean, unfortunately, as we grow and as we get older and times evolve, that's going to be a thing of the past here shortly, I believe, unfortunately. I mean, Chris and Heather are working their asses off to keep Cycle Source on newsstands, but it's one of those things. Eventually, everybody wants right now gratification. The bike I'm building now, everybody, I haven't posted anything about it. I posted when I cut the frame in half, and that's all I've posted. And I just don't, it's not that I don't want to share it. It's, I'm to the point where I just want to get it built, and I'll share pictures afterwards. I don't want to be on the phone all the time. There's times I take pictures, I like, okay, I'll post a picture of that, and then I'll get home, I'll sit in the shop, or eat dinner, I'll go sit in my chair, and forget about it. And then 2 days later, I remember it, and I'm like, oh, never mind, I ain't going to post it. Yeah, and social media now, to run your social media, that's like another part-time job. I mean, literally, to run your Facebook, Instagram, if you're on X, and it's another job, especially with the editing. I do live videos because it's easier for me, because I don't like sitting there on my phone. Like my son, he can probably take my video and go through a quick edit in 5 minutes and have it lined out and cool. Like the kids like to do it, but I'm just, I don't know, man, I'm kind of an old school cat.
Yeah, and I do the same thing on my builds. You know, at first I was like, man, I'm going to put this on social media. And then when I built my son's bike with him, and we were going to Cycle Showcase, and Randy said, well, has anybody seen it yet? And then I kind of like that whole nobody's seeing it till you bring it out for that first show. I kind of like that whole everybody's looking at it for the first time, you know, and then I shared the pictures afterwards.
Yeah, I did an unveiling there a couple of years back. I took my bike, the Velvet Hammer. It was a shovel head, and I didn't even name it. I told Randy I built a bike for his show, but he had to name it when it got there. And I did post pictures of that bike as I built it. I posted all the way up until fabrication was done, and then I didn't post any pictures of the finished product until after it was we did a live unveiling on social media with it. So that was cool.
That's super.
And Randy's awesome. A great guy. He's one of the greatest guys in the industry. He's such a nice, humble, friendly. He's just an awesome human being.
He's great. He's great. That I can't say, like, everybody that I've met through him, or anybody that I've met in the chopper community, has been so humble and so down to earth. I really appreciate everybody that's in there. What would you say to the younger generation to inspire them to share our passion for motorcycles?
I just think, just not even just motorcycles. I just think kids nowadays, they're so programmed to who they need to be, you know, with school and what TV tells them and what their friends tell them to do. I don't know, the country right now is in a peril that's kind of out there. And I just think people need to just get back to the roots of what makes them happy. And if it's fishing, go fishing. If it's riding motorcycles, ride motorcycles. If it's golfing, go golfing. Make time. I mean, time is the most valuable commodity on the planet. I mean, you can't get any more back. Once it's gone, it's gone. So you need to make sure you make the most of it. Don't worry about the things you can't control. Don't waste time trying to change somebody's mind. Do what makes your heart happy. And if it don't make your heart happy, then don't do it. And that, if, whether it's motorcycles or summer softball league, whatever, just make sure you're using your time to enjoy your life, because before you know it, your kids are going to hand you grandkids, and then your parents are going to be gone, and then you're going to be a grandpa, and you're going to be looking forward to how you're going to handle your retirement.
That statement just kind of nailed it right there too, because that's about where I'm at. You know, I'm a grandpa. I'm actually sitting here right now watching one of my grandbabies because his mom got called to work because we got bad weather. But you know, that's the thing. If you got to take time, because tomorrow night might not come. And I learned that real quick in October, that life can change in the blink of an eye.
So. That's the biggest reason when I went to my shop full time. I have grandkids. My kids are raised. I got three grandsons, and the job I was working was a good job. It sold, and they ended up requiring me to have a lot more on time at the facilities. And, I wasn't willing to do that. I wasn't going to give up my weekends and my evenings with my family. And so I made the decision to go to my shop full time because of exactly what you said. I mean, I spent the first part of my kids were young. I worked full time, did my shop as much as I could. And there's things I miss that I can't get back. And it's not something I'm happy or proud of. It's one of those things. I did what I had to do to get to where I wanted to be. Sometimes you have to do the things you don't want to do in life to get to where you want to be. And that's something that kids nowadays don't understand at all. They want it all right now.
Right.
So I did what I had to do to get to where I want to be. And now I'm where I want to be. And I want to make sure that I make the time for my family. Because when I leave this world, my grandkids, my kids, and my wife are going to be the ones who actually remember me. That factory's already forgot me. I've been gone for 9 months. I'm yesterday's news.
Right. That's 100% it. And I'll take every minute I get offered to spend with my grandkids or my kids now. And I just, everything else in life to me is, you know, it's everything else can wait. It's just kind of where I'm at, but I don't want to keep you long, 'cause I know you want to get your shop cleaned up and everything. I just had one more question for you. Would you say the chopper scene is making a comeback?
I don't know, man. I don't think so. I think the chopper scene is kind of stagnant right now. I see a lot of people when I go to Daytona and things like that. I don't see it making. I don't think motorcycling in general. I think the whole motorcycling in general is stagnant. I think there's hot spots. You know, Texas is full of baggers, and those guys ride those things and they do their stereo competitions and stuff. But it isn't like it used to be. Like when I was a kid and I was in my 20s, we have a Bait of Indiana, and a Bait always had an event going on, or you had the Chillicothe Rodeo, and you had, you know, all these little, the bike shows, the Easy Rider bike shows. And then you had all these other clubs that had events, and it just seems like it seems like we're a dying breed to a certain degree. And, I'd like for it to make a huge comeback, but I just don't think kids nowadays are interested in riding motorcycles. I don't see a lot of young kids on motorcycles anymore. I mean, if you really think about it, how often you see a kid under 25 riding a motorcycle?
That's true. I mean, and when they are, the unfortunate part is that statement, when you do see them, they're on the sport bikes going fast, and that always.
But that's okay.
That's okay, but it doesn't always end well, because it takes a lot of experience to do that stuff.
To me, riding's riding. So, I mean, if they're just on a bike, that's cool. But when I was a kid, everybody's worried about their cell phone, what's going on their cell phone. And you see kids on their cell phones all the time. And I miss riding a skateboard or when I was a kid. I miss, hell, my body wouldn't let me do that now if I wanted to. But I miss riding my BMX bike everywhere, my freestyle bike. I missed trying to do tricks and going home. Mom's, where'd you get that scratch at? You know, because I tried to surf the handlebars and biffed it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Kids don't do anything like that now. Kids, I think as a society, in my opinion, we're not letting our kids be kids. We're trying to just make them adults right out the gate.
Right.
Whether it's school, whether it's giving them so much to do. When I played baseball when I was in school, man, when I was a kid, we had practice one day a week and games on Saturday morning. That was it.
Yep.
Now you got games 5 days a week. You got a game on Friday night. You got a game on Saturday. You got a game on Sunday. And parents are just running ragged, running their kids through fast food places. Everybody is in such a hurry because of the internet and how technology has our lives going. And I just think sometimes we just need to step back and slow down.
That's definitely true. And I got to enjoy, I mean, my son's 27 and I got to enjoy building that chopper with him, actually the one in the picture behind me with him. And I let him do everything on it. And it was his vision and everything on it, but watching him do it and watching the new vision of it. And my dad kind of looked down too a little bit and he's like, that's kind of like a newer stuff on there, but it's an old school look, you know, so it really turned out good.
And that's the best part about it with the technology we have now, right? You can take an Evo drivetrain that's, whether it's a Sportster or whether it's just a big twin evolution, and you can buy it reasonable and you can put it in a soft tail frame and modify the frame with the fender, or you can buy a rigid frame. You can make a dependable, fun bike to ride. I mean, some of my favorite, I don't know about yourself, but for myself, some of my favorite thing to do is when I can get on my bike with my wife on a Sunday and have no plans and just back road cruise and like go have lunch or go have ice cream or just go ride around, visit a friend and then come home and just not be in a hurry.
Yeah,
you'll always have to have an agenda.
And that's 100% the way that I like the kind of the internet stuff, like doing stuff like this or filming mm-hmm. something, but I refuse to put a camera on my motorcycle in video or motor vlog like that, because that time is my time and I can't get that time back. And
man, I'm horrible. I was going to post cycle showcase pictures today from when I was there last weekend. I took one picture. I literally took one picture of Michael Lang talking to Randy when he unveiled his knucklehead. That's the only thing I talked. That's the only picture I took. Me and my wife, when we go to Daytona and go to all the events we go to, we're bad about not taking pictures because we're trying to enjoy our time with each other. And I enjoy the pictures. I enjoy this. I mean, if you look at my hashtags on my Instagram account and Facebook, my last hashtags always, you meet the best people on motorcycles. Without motorcycles, I wouldn't have been in Detroit and met you. I wouldn't have met Randy. I wouldn't have met Detroit Randy. There's a whole list of people that I'm friends with, I'm good friends with because of motorcycles. So I don't think people understand the camaraderie today like the camaraderie was 20 years ago when it comes to motorcycling. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes 100% sense, because I feel the same way. Like when I went to when I met Detroit Randy and I met everybody at the Detroit, Randy's show and cycle showcases show, like a lot of the invitational chopper shows, when you go to those, it becomes part of a family. Like you learn the people are just there and they don't talk, you know, you talk about the motorcycles and you look at the motorcycles, but you learn about each other and it becomes part of a family.
The invitational shows, I agree with you 100%. The invitational shows I love are like the Dam Show, the BC Moto Show, Bill Dodge's show, Cycle Showcase. The awards, it's cool if you win an award, man, but the awards are just awards. That's not why I go to I don't go to shows. Even like in the Daytona when Cycle Source has a show, I'll take my new build there to hang out, but if I win, I win. If I don't, I don't. It doesn't really matter to me. I go there to show off my bike, look at other bikes, network with other people who are like-minded that enjoy the motorcycles. And here's the thing, you know, I don't critique people's stuff. If a guy buys a welder from Harbor Freight and he has a one-car garage, and he builds his bike, and he builds the best bike he can to his ability that's safe. It has to be safe.
Yep.
And he rides it. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. As long as he did it and he loves it, that's all that matters. I've told kids mm-hmm. that. They say, hey, man, what do you think of my bike? Did you build it? Yeah. Do you like it? Yeah. Well, I love it, man. It doesn't matter what I think then.
Yep. You already won. That's the one thing, like, I've been to a couple shows and stuff, and when I look at other motorcycles and everything, and if somebody asks me about their bike, I'm kind of the same way. Unless I see something that's completely unsafe, if I see something on there that's unsafe, you know, I'll be like, man, the way that you did that, you should probably change it a little bit. If you want an opinion, I can tell you how to do that, because I don't want to see somebody out there doing something that's not safe and hurt themselves because they didn't know how to do it correctly.
I was at Randy's first time I went to Cycle Showcase. I took my green pan shovel chopper and I had the sissy bar mounted into the fender with brass bolts just for the show. I polished brass bolts just for the show. And I'm standing there and Jeff Cochran from Speed King Racing walks up to me and goes, hey man, how you doing? Jeff is a dear friend of mine. He's a great guy. Another guy I look up to in the industry. And when I come out with a new part, I usually send it to him to get his opinion. He goes, hey, man, what's up with these brass bolts? You can't be riding her around on this bike with brass bolts, man. It's not safe. I said, I know. And I knew you were going to break my balls about it. I said, those are just there for the show. I'm putting chrome ones in when I get home. He said, okay. So then you fast forward to when we went to Daytona. I pull into Willie's for chopper time. Tropical Tattoo. The first thing he did was walk up to see if I changed those bolts in that fender. And if I wouldn't have, he'd have chewed me up one side and down the other about how unsafe it was.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just the way that, I mean, that's the way you almost have to be, because even as a builder, when you're building them, if you overlook something and somebody else has a good eye for it, they might catch something that you never even knew about and they might save you down the road.
That's why I always like to put, like, I like to get a riding season, a shakedown riding season on my bikes before they're for sale.
Yeah.
I like to have them ride it around for 6-8 months through the riding season from February through August. And if I don't get, doesn't give me any problems and I put wrenches on stuff, everything's good. Now it's something I can sell, but I can't just take it off the lift and sell it.
Right. Well, that's kind of all I've got. And I appreciate you coming on. I don't want to take a bunch of your time because I know you said you wanted to clean the shop and everything. I know you're on Instagram. That's probably the only social media you have, isn't it?
Well, I have at Joker Cycle Works on Facebook, Instagram. What's the other one that everybody's posting on now? I can't remember the name of it. Huh?
X or TikTok?
No TikTok. I have X, and there's another one that people have been posting on here lately, but, and then my website, jokercycleworks.com. But yeah, we have a list of the shows we're going to be at. It's getting updated regularly as we agree to attend things. So anybody that wants to come out and say, hey, we'll be in Daytona. We'll be at the Cycle Source show. We'll be at Willie's Chopper Time with our booth set up. We'll be at the Traditional Chopper Magazine Chopper Show at Giuseppe's during Bike Week. So anybody wants to come out and say hi, man, that's where we'll be.
All right. Well, like I said, I appreciate your time. I just have one question because I was scrolling around your page before I came on here. Are those fenders going to come off the sold off back order pretty soon? Or are you going to make those again?
Yeah, we just had the guy that was making them for me had some medical stuff. And I do have a few of them around here, but I didn't want to leave them. I probably have 6 or 8 I can sell if you're interested in one, but I put them on there sold out because I didn't want to end up getting an order for 20 and having to backpedal with orders. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Something you're interested in, just reach out.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time. I'll let you get out of here. I don't have anything else. And I'll just finish up the show, wrap it up, and you can go back to building them awesome choppers that you build. I appreciate it a lot.
No problem, man. Hopefully
I'll get with you if I need anything.
I appreciate it, man. Hopefully you get feeling better soon. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks, man. All right, everybody. I can assure you that if you're not following Joker Cycle Works, come over there, check out all his stuff in Instagram, check out his webpage, check out his merch, check out some awesome merch, pick up some stuff, because like I said, you got to support other motorcycles. You got to support small businesses, small shops, especially in these times. He's out there putting the work in. Go over there, check out some of his cool shirts, check out some of his other stuff and support that stuff. So that's what I have for his thing. So please make sure and check out his content one last time. And everyone, get out there and ride when you can. Get out there and enjoy motorcycles.
Sweepers.